Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three, final hour of the week here. Let's finish up strong. Tiki and Tierney coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket Ken. You know, I learned a lesson here, Teak. I don't know if you guys should probably point this out so people don't think I got pounded by somebody. I don't know if you, can you tell, let me see, which I think it's my right eye, so I guess on TV, the left eye. You see that mark there?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty noticeable, right?
Yeah.
You know what that's from?
What?
And I got caught, and you as somebody who shaves your head, you should probably have some experience in this department as well. One thing about men's razors, they're not cheap.
No.
Like, they, if you get, like, the Mach 3 or the Mach 4, like, they are expensive.
That's right.
So what I like to do is I like to use my wife's razor without her. No, just for my head.
Yeah.
Right? For my head when I polish off the dome, which is every other day, right? And up until last night, I actually had a beard for about 8, 9, 10 days. It was getting pretty thick. And I was trying to edge it out. Like, I was trying to trim it out.
Uh-huh.
You get that line. And neaten it up a little bit, square it up, and I had just finished my head, and I was using her razor still. Those things get, like, surprisingly jagged, like, yeah. Those edges.
Yeah, I know.
And it just clipped me, and I was bleeding everywhere, man. So that's what that is.
Well, that's Jen's. Don't blame Jen. Even though it's her fault.
I didn't lose a fight.
I'm just kidding. I didn't,
although at this age, if I had a fight, there's a chance I would probably lose.
Yeah.
But I did not lose a fight. My children did not whack me. My wife did not whack me. I whacked myself with my wife's razor.
Nice.
There you go. What
nice.
A brilliant move.
That's what you get.
Yeah, I deserve it.
Dollar Shave Club.
I was trying to save money. You're right. I was trying to save a few bucks. I'm usually not cheap, but that is one thing that I try to hoard. Like, I try to hoard my razors because I shave my face so infrequently, so rarely. I want a nice, clean, like, butter. I want it to go through. And, you know, if you use the Bic for that top of the head, too, it loses some of its cut. Anyway, Brad Stevens is maybe losing a little support in the locker room, maybe to the point where Danny Ainge has spoken about this.
Yeah.
And generally, when there's some whispers, the whispers get a little louder. You know, when before we play this from Brad Stevens, which we will, he was actually directly asked about this. Take us through. I know football is different than an NBA locker room, tight quarters in the NBA. I get that, but take us through when things start to unravel. And that might be too strong of a word in your situations, but when things go a little askew, that the messaging is not as well received, how does it manifest itself inside the locker room and then on the practice court?
Yeah, well, field? I mean, in basketball, I think it's a little bit different because the practice it's not really intense. You know what I mean? It is in some points, but for most of the season, you're trying to stay healthy and like fresh, and so. I think a lot of what's happening right now with Brad Stevens is something you see in any like coach-player dynamic. Once a team that was really good, I mean, let's not forget, three seasons ago, they were in the final Eastern Conference Finals, and it felt like...
Talking about when they had Kyrie.
No.
Oh, the year before.
Before.
Then Kyrie went there, and then obviously 2 years with the Nets.
Exactly. And so it was like... But they were young. Remember how young they were? And it was like, dude, this team is doing this? Like, and they beat the Sixers, and it was like, man, okay. Brad Stevens has got these kids playing, like, at a high level, like, outside of themselves. They shouldn't have arrived here yet. Mm-hmm. And it felt awesome. Like, man, the future is bright for the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
Now, what's happened over the last couple of years, though, is that they've kind of just stayed right there, right? Like, really good, but not anywhere close to being contender level. And, you know, the roster has matured a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's turned over some. Yeah. But, the Jalen...
Brown.
Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum's of the world.
Kemba, not Kemba, efficient.
But Kemba's new there. But
still, he's not efficient.
Like, I know, but those guys that have been there, they're like, we should be, like, growing. Like, where's this, like, leap? We know we're good. Like, mm-hmm. we know we're all-star, you know, quality players. Where's this leap? And with the absence of an explanation for that, you start looking at the coach, and the coach ends up getting blame. And and you said this, I think, yesterday or maybe a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that elevator, right? He's a great teacher, and you can't ever take that away from him. He was that way when he was in college. I think he was that way with this young Boston Celtics team. But he's not that elevator, and that elevator, is able to use star power or create stars, able to, you know, coach your way around some bad losses here and there. Mm-hmm. And he's stagnated. And so this team has stagnated. And the problem is how do you get out of where they are right now? And I don't know if there's an easy answer. And so what we're seeing is Danny Ainge, he's taking the bullets, right? He's taking all the fire. This is on me. You know, I haven't put together a good enough roster. And which might be partially true, but I don't think it's all the way true.
Well, I don't know what's going on. At one point in mid-January, they were 8-3. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the results since: loss, 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 win, win, loss, mm-hmm. loss, win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss. That is maddening inconsistency for a team that's supposed to be a lot better than this. If you think they're supposed to be a lot better than this, and I don't. I know they're good. I don't know where I picked them, actually. When we did our preview, I believe I had them as a top four team. Definitely had Philly, top four in the East. Definitely had Philly. Definitely had the Nets. Didn't have the Raptors. I like the Pacers more than you, but not top four. I'm sure I had the Celtics top four, but probably closer to four than one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I had already, and I think you were the same way. I think we had already shifted our expectations. Maybe Mike can check and let us know. But when you see this long string of losses, inconsistent play, the conversation, even if it's not fully true, it takes on a heaviness to the point where it's now you're asking the coach about it.
Yeah.
And here's Brad Stevens asked about the recent rumblings that, they're kind of tuning him out. Here he is.
Well, the tune out part, I don't. And certainly you're going to go through times of the year where guys are frustrated with their own individual experiences, right? I mean, you're not going to play more than five guys at a time, and you're not going to play more than 8, 9, sometimes 10 guys when you really get into your rotation when fully healthy. And so there's always going to be something, right? But as far as like guys and, you know, our ability from day to day to coach, and they've been great to me. I have no complaints in that regard at all.
I mean, first of all, he's got to say that, because that's not Pop or Doc Rivers or Rick Carlisle. I mean, if Brad Stevens doesn't say that, Brad Stevens is back in college.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to say that.
No, I think he does. And I think he's trying to make it sound like it's the truth. I don't know what to say about the Boston Celtics, and we've had this conversation before. They're a team that's tough to figure. You look at their roster construction, and this is partly on Ainge. There's not that impactful big. They have a bunch of, you know, guard wing type players who are good. And I'm not taking anything away from, you know, Tatum and Brown and and Kemba and all those guys, but they're good players. But maybe Tatum has the ability to hit superstar level. Like, maybe he does.
I think Tatum definitely does.
But we haven't.
That's the only one.
But we haven't seen it yet. You know.
Well, we've seen it in spurts. Jason Tatum's,
but not consistently. But for me to be a superstar, it's got to be like every night. You're
fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
And it's just it's not there yet.
Fair enough.
And is that coaching, or is that, you know, lack of the pieces around you? And so the Celtics team, they're confounding. Because they should be good from based on where they started 3 years ago, and yet they're still just kind of on the same plateau. And again, they're going to win, 45, on a regular length season, 45, 55 games a year. But are they ever going to be a real threat? And I don't see that yet.
I don't think they're going to be a threat if Kemba Walker is their starting guard. Mm. Kemba's a guy who for a lot of years played for a bad Charlotte team, and they never won. Now, coming from, you can't say he's not a winner because what he did at UConn, five wins in five days, and I was there for a lot of those. The first game against Pitt, it's all over YouTube, that step back. I forget the big that he crossed up, but that was the start of a run that was magical for Kemba. So Kemba inherently is a winner, but at the NBA level, Kemba is just not efficient. I mean, he's shooting 36% from the field, not from three.
Yeah.
36% from the field. And that's not
that's hard to do, man.
That's almost impossible for a guard. Now, he's not getting any dunks because he's small.
Yeah.
But his overall field goal, again, not 3-point, his field goal percentage as a pro, I think this is year nine, whatever it is 41.5. That's ghastly. That is, you want to know what that is? That's a reserve on a good team.
Yeah.
That's a guy coming off the bench who, when he's sizzling, he can drop 20 or 30 fast. Not the perfect comparison, but a little bit like John Starks back in the day for the Knicks, where if you knew, you know, when John was cooking, John could kill you. And when John was ice cold, John could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're shooting 36%, and again, that is a bit of an anomaly. It's lower than it's ever been. But again, he's only 41% for his career, so it's not that far of a deviation. It's not like he's a 350 hitter and now he's hitting 209. Like, they're pretty close. It's just a little drop off. That guy cannot be a starter on a team that's got designs on winning a championship.
So what's the solution here?
Like, I don't think they have an internal solution unless they make a huge trade.
Yeah, I agree. So it's got to be a huge trade. But then if you do that, I mean, you start looking at the roster. It's like, who do you got to give up, you know, for this to happen? Who are you keeping for the long haul? Who are you giving up? Because you need like a big 6'10" or a wing player who can shoot and score. I don't know if that guy is even available via trade right now. Because if you don't get that guy, like you're stuck. And I like Tristan Thompson, but what's he doing for you?
You're gonna go nowhere. I mean, he's a tough guy. Right? A lot of respect for him, but. Yeah, you're not going.
No, you know, and Taco Fall is just an anomaly type player.
He gets, rooting for
he gets, him. He gets like 4 minutes a game. So, I mean, he's not the guy. He's not the guy. Like,
no.
Who's your big here that's making a difference?
I'm not even worried about the bigs, though. I'm worried about Kemba. Like, I'm not saying that you're wrong. That is part of it. But, you know, and I just looked it up while you were talking. And I heard everything you said. But it's 10 years now for Kemba. Four of the 10 years, he's had a sub-40 overall field goal percentage.
Wow.
Sub-40.
Wow.
Now, you want to say...
Now, he was on some bad teams down there.
That's where I was going to go. You want to say Trae Young misses some shots, you know, especially, you know, his first year in the league. I get it. But that only goes so far. You're either efficient or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there was nights where I'm sure he was doubled and he was always the focal point of when he was with Charlotte, opponents' defenses, and yeah, we stop Kemba, we get this win easy. Understood. I got you. But the great ones rise above that. I mean, and nobody's ever thought that Kemba was a great pro, but he has to be significantly better than this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's really no evidence that it's coming. So I don't know what the answer is. I mean, we keep throwing out the same, hey, trade for Bradley Beal, hey, trade for Zach LaVine. But would you give up? Here's the question.
Who are you giving up?
Here is the question.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get those players. Like, Jaylen Brown would not get back those players, even though I like Jaylen. Do the Celtics need to look at every avenue and say, all right, would we be willing to trade Jason Tatum? I'm not saying for Beal per se, but for, like, do we use him to get from here to here? You're going to lose something terrific, but Tatum's 23 years old.
You'd get
back a lot.
Well, I hate to answer a question with a question, but you would say if they don't have Jason Tatum, is there another star? So in big cities, you kind of need the star.
Right? In any city, you need.
True, but I think particularly in Boston, you need that guy. And if Jason Tatum is not on that team, who is it? Like, who is it? Right?
You'd be using Jason to trade for another star
to acquire that guy.
Correct. So you would be exchanging stars, or you know, I'm not even saying that's the prudent route. I'm Danny Ainge. I'm not trading Jason Tatum. I think that highly of him. You're right that to be a superstar, it's got to be there every night. But I also think he's still dealing with the COVID that he's spoken about.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
He did.
He's not
an excuse maker. I'm gonna trust him on that.
That was a little troubling, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Because, I mean, again, we're not stepping out of our lane, but we don't know how this thing affects you individually. And we know how collectively we look at it, and it's a deadly virus that ultimately, you know, some people get really healthy from and they're fine. Others, it lingers and it hangs with them. Right, this was a long time ago he had COVID.
Yes.
And he still feels winded. I mean, it's almost like, man, are your lungs permanently affected by this? And if they are, I mean, I don't even know how to like react to that.
I have no idea. Like we said before, we'll leave that to the, you know, science and the great doctors in this world who are trying to plow us and pull us out of this. But your question is an interesting one. What are the lingering? We don't know. And it makes no sense to guess. We don't know. But I'm going to take Jason Tatum at his word when Jason Tatum says, listen, I don't feel right. He's not an excuse maker.
No.
The guy was one of the ascending stars in basketball, and he's still a star. But for him to say that is worrisome. But I keep going back to Kemba. And I know you tell me about the front court. You are not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But Kemba Walker's been terrible. I mean, the more I really think about it, 36%?
Yeah, that's bad.
There were guards in the 80s. I'm talking about with hand-checking that. Like, when you had maybe 10 three-pointers attempted for the entire game, when the jump shooting proficiency was one-tenth of what it is now, where there was just an expectation – guys are going to miss jump shots.
Yeah. What's now, his PER? Does he, like, let me.
His PER is 14 and a half.
Yeah.
He's playing poor. I'm not trying to bag on him. He's playing very poorly.
He's shooting almost the same percentage from 3-point range, and he takes half of his shots from 3-point range.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's just about the same ratio.
Seven of his 15 shots per, this is on a per game basis, are three pointers, and he's shooting 36%.
I mean, that's not going to get it done. No. And Brad Stevens, while he hasn't really said anything, I'm sure the local media asks about, you know, about that stuff somewhat often, but his actions tell me that he gets it too, because if you look at his minutes, you know, he's under 30 minutes for the first time in his career. I think he's averaging 27, 28 minutes. He's always been, I mean, with Charlotte, he was 35, 36.
Mm-hmm.
And even last year with the Celtics, he was north of 30. So his numbers are dropping as his efficiency drops.
Yeah, so it sounds like what Brad Stevens was talking about was a guy like Kemba Walker, right?
Yeah.
Guys are worried about their minutes and everything else. I mean, they're talking about the vet here. He's the 30-year-old.
Yes, he
is. On this squad. Teague is as well, but he's not you know, a potential starter.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kemba Walker. I mean, we know what the issue is. The question is how you fix it, and it's not easy. It's easier said than done.
It is. The Celtics, and again, I don't know. We don't know collectively. There's no way to know. We're not in that locker room. Is it that they're tuning him out, or is it that Kemba's shooting 36%, and if he was at 42%, they'd have five more wins?
Yeah.
I don't know how you extrapolate that. I don't know. But it's worrisome. I mean, you look at the Celtics right now, unless they make a trade, and I know Ainge still has a lot of draft equity where I wouldn't rule anything out. And he, you know, he's a shrewd guy. He's a GM for sure. He's done some pretty good things. One of which was drafting Tatum when nobody thought that he should. Remember that? Oh, you got to take Ball. Got to take. Nah, we'll take Jason. We're good. We'll take Tatum, who's twice as good as Ball.
Yep.
I think the Celtics in a world of hurt. I think if they play the Nets will destroy them. I think if they play Philly will destroy them. I think if they play who else am I missing out on from the Eastern
Milwaukee
Conference?
Milwaukee is there.
I don't know if Milwaukee would destroy him. Milwaukee's, we touched on them the first hour. Milwaukee's got some issues too, but I would pick Milwaukee to beat them.
Yep, the Raptors are in the conversation. Indy.
I like the Pacers. I'm a Pacers guy a little bit more than most. I think they're well coached. I think they're pretty good. I'd probably pick the Pacers in a seven-game series too.
Yeah, because right now, that'd be the 4-5 matchup if the season ended now. Obviously, we're still a long way away, but not even at the All-Star break. But 4-5 is Boston-Indy.
All right. It's another story to follow, T. Boy, we're following a lot of stories here. The Raiders going to get rid of Carr. What's going to happen with the Celtics? Is Giannis really a superstar? Is he a number one? Does he need a number one? Is he really a number two? Well, I think I've been saying a lot this week. All right, we've got to follow the story. There's a lot of things to follow.
That's the downtime between the end of the NFL season and relevant basketball.
But it's my favorite thing about sports radio. I love these stories. I love trying to connect the dots and trying to get people to think and reacting to things that aren't black and white. Like, to me, that's enjoyable. And you're going to miss. You're going to swing and miss. You're going to throw some errant darts. But I like these kind of conversations because they just, I don't know. It's listen, you and I don't get on the air very often and break down, you know, break down a game from the night before. You know, we'll react to a game and stories, but these are the things that drive the conversations to us. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. I'm seeing a lot of tweets at Tiki and Tierney, Instagram, Tiki and Tierney, Facebook, obviously YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney as well. Radio.com, Apple, iTunes, million ways to stay in touch with the show. All right, so Bruce Arians told us something really interesting yesterday. He was on the show. We didn't even know he was calling in, but Bruce gave us a call. And he said something about the quarterback-head coach dynamic that makes you think, and it does pertain to Brady and Belichick and some other duos. We'll hit that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, starting to wind down on this Friday. Hopefully everybody's having a great, or has had a great week, and getting ready to launch into the weekend. Little college hoops. I've got a game tomorrow night. Other than that, just kind of laying low, chilling. Tiki, kind of quiet for you guys too, I would imagine, with the snow. Nothing happening?
Nothing going on, just chilling, hanging out.
I got to shovel again tonight right after the show. We didn't get a ton, but you know what? It's heavy, so it's like almost a mixture of snow and rain.
Yeah, it's wet.
Yeah, it gets wet. It gets heavy. Good snowball material, though. It packs nicely. Might have hit a few cars early, like I did back in the day. All right. You know, we were getting ready yesterday, right around this time, to get into the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson conversation, which is something that you and I hit today. And it was hysterical. During the break, D-Cell's like, Bruce Arians is on the phone. So Bruce just called. I know Tiki dropped him a text after the championship to congratulate him and said, hey, we want to get you on the show. But Bruce, being Bruce, never said, yeah, I'll come on this date and time. He just picked up the phone. He knows the number. He called us. And we had a great chat with Bruce. And I think you guys would enjoy it if you missed it. Radio.com, Apple, iTunes, etc. And we talked about, you know, many things, but the quarterback-coach dynamic, and a lot of this has been attached to, you know, what's Belichick without Brady? What would Brady be without Belichick? Blah, blah, blah. And Bruce, with a, as usual, pretty poignant take. Here's Arians on the whole quarterback-head coach dynamic.
No, the quarterback is your team. I mean, if you're a good coach, you've got a hell of a quarterback. If you're getting your ass fired, probably because your quarterback sucks. I mean, if you have an Alex Smith, who's a hell of a quarterback before he was injured, I thought he was a hell of a quarterback, and you put a great defense, you can win.
Yeah.
Because Alex can beat you by himself. But there's so many that can. Without a great defense, you've got no chance. But if you have a good defense and a great quarterback, you can beat anybody.
And he proved it by taking, you know, his leadership and that accountability and attention to detail that we always talk about with the New England Patriots. We saw that significantly with the Buccaneers this year. And so where did that come from? It came from Tom Brady. And so I think Bruce's stance is spot on. Like quarterbacks, they touch the ball every single play. And all it takes is one or two mistakes, and that's a fumble, it's an interception, it's anything that's a skew of like, you know, keeping the team regular and not turning the ball over, and you can cost yourself a game. So if you have a quarterback that doesn't do that and who is accountable, it makes it so much easier to win. Just look at teams that have had quarterback issues. You know, look at the Giants with Daniel Jones in his second year with all those turnovers, or Jared Goff. Who was tied for first, I think, in the league in turnovers. He got him traded, right? You know, they don't want to get fired over there. They got rid of him.
But they still won games. So
I know, but because their defense was great. Number one defense in football. Let's not forget that. So,
true.
I mean, true. Like, and I think we've gotten to the point, and we've talked about this all week, where if you're not the guy, and let's say they thought for a second you were the guy at quarterback, they're going to get rid of you, and they're going to move on and get someone else.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, the bottom line is this: talent. You need it. And now it's different at the college level. I think basketball is different. You know, football, you can have the best coach, the aptitude, the innovation. You know, if you take the small school and you go and play the SEC and everything that you do leading up to that kick is just supremely better than whomever you're playing from the SEC, you're still going to get your doors blasted because there's a discrepancy in talent. College basketball is different. We've seen ways to mitigate a discrepancy in talent. We can coach around certain things, but in the NBA, yeah, you'll steal some nights. you know, midweek when the better team is kind of chilling. Like the Knicks have stolen some games this year because they play hard. They're not incredibly talented. They're well coached and they play very hard. They play with passion. They've won some games they probably should not have won, one of which was against the Bucks early in the season. But in the NFL, if you don't have the quarterback, you can't win.
No, you
just
can't
win.
You can't.
You can't win big. It's impossible.
You might be able, like a while ago, to have gotten away with it. You know, you could slow the game down and just run it out, like type of thing, and steal games that way. You can't do that anymore because games are too tight. It's always going to come down to a play or whatever. And if you're not that team, then you're losing. And so I think, yeah, quarterbacks, he's right. Bruce is right. Coaching is one thing. But if you don't have a good quarterback, it's really hard to win and almost impossible, to be honest with you.
What if you have a great quarterback but a deficient head coach? How does that dynamic work?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like, find examples of that.
I hear you.
Because great quarterbacks make great head coaches, if it makes any sense. And I think Bruce even said that before, you know, the part of the clip where we were talking about. If you have a great quarterback, you're going to be a good head coach. Mm-hmm. Simply because there's I don't know, there's just like a symbiosis that exists there, you know, from player to coach, but not necessarily from coach to player.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing, too. It's like the inept, I mean, they all know football. Mm-hmm. I mean, inept. I mean, come on, you don't become an NFL head coach by being inept. That's true. Just lazy stuff there. But there are coaches, you know, when we watch these games where, and even some, like Mike McCarthy, remember he butchered the timeout? Like, there are guys who won Super Bowls who still just not that impressive in certain spots with certain things.
Well, part of it is the relationship, BT, because I know you've seen the stories about Doug Peterson after the Carson Wentz trade. Yeah. And I don't think we were aware of this. You could probably have surmised this, but Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz last year went like 7, 8, 9 weeks without talking.
Yes. That came out today.
Like, what in the hell?
But that's Doug Peterson's fault.
I agreed.
That's Doug Peterson.
And so prior, I would have said, oh, yeah, Doug Peterson is like, he's an elevator. He's a lifter. Like, he's making Carson Wentz better. But as soon as things got a little awkward, you just stopped talking to the dude.
I mean,
or he stops talking to you. Whatever the circumstances were, that's just a weird dynamic. And somebody, you know, that's management 101. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, even if it is the latter and Carson Wentz stopped talking to him, the onus is on the head coach to end that stalemate.
No
hey,
doubt.
Listen, whether we get a beer, whether we sit in my office and get a pizza, whatever it is, we got to talk.
Yep.
And, you know, we're not going to leave until we feel better about them. We might not feel great about things, but we're going to feel better and it's going to be a workable environment. But to just not speak, now who knows if there's a little hyperbole in that article that came out today. But so even if it wasn't 8 or 9 weeks, even if it's 3 weeks, it's that is untenable.
Agreed.
That reflects very poorly on Doug Peterson. And the last thing I want to do is complicate Doug Peterson's future employment, right? But, like, you know, he's going to be in the coaching cycle next year. You know, he will be.
Of course he will be.
But if that's, and I've got to do my due diligence, if I find out that that's truly true, I don't know if I could hire Doug Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real...
And I got to... Either that or I got to ask, like, very probing questions.
But I don't care. I'm going to ask, but I don't know if there's an answer that can satisfy me enough...
No, I hear you.
...that would still allow me to say, I can hire... You're my guy. That's frightening. You don't have a conversation with the franchise quarterback for 2 months almost?
Good point.
Not a word?
Yeah.
Come on, what is that? That can't happen. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back, hit you with the blast, wrap up an awesome week here on Tiki and Tierney. Ack's update is right now. Here's Rich. All right, get ready for the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time to ask the answer the pros question. And we do that with our friends here at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, not surprisingly, about Giannis. We had some strong takes about the back-to-back reigning MVP. Billy in Wisconsin wants to know, all right, you guys say Giannis can't win as the guy in Milwaukee. To be fair, that's probably a little bit more me than definitely me. Tiki's a little in between that. I don't know if you quite went all the way there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but can the Bucks build around him, or better to trade him for a huge haul and start over?
They tried around him. I don't think starting over is going to do anything for you. So, because what are the chances you're going to find a unicorn in the draft again? You know what I mean? So, I'm going to say they got to try as hard as they can, BT, to lure free agents or trade multiple assets that they don't even want to get rid of, Chris Middleton being one, in order to bring that other superstar there to be with Giannis.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't know if there's an easy solution, but they've got it. They've got to do something. Appreciate the question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, the before we get to the blast here on Tiki and Tierney, the part of the equation that makes it interesting, like even if they were to find the gem, like Giannis, who was not a top 10 pick, and he becomes something statistically that approximates Giannis, right?
Yep.
There's no guarantee that that player is going to want to stay in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Giannis wants to stay in Milwaukee. He's given you a commitment there.
That's right.
So no, you don't blow it up now. I mean, that would be lunacy. You don't trade Giannis Antetokounmpo before the March whatever 20 something I think it is deadline. But what you do is, if the season ends very prematurely, round one or round two, you have to be incredibly aggressive this summer, because then the as much as Giannis has committed to Milwaukee, if he sees regression, his camp, even though I think his camp is really just his family, which is uniquely awesome, I think he could start to sour on the direction of the franchise a bit if he doesn't see some radical moves, if there's an underachievement this playoff season, which I believe that there will be. So they don't have to do it now, but it's on the radar. They got to get better.
They got to figure it out, because this team is clearly just not like championship viable right now.
They are not. All right, let's get to the blast. You ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. Cardinals GM Steve Keim said this week that he hasn't spoken to Larry Fitzgerald yet about his plans for next season. He's 37 years of age. Fitz is coming off a 54-catch, 409-yard season. Would the Cardinals be better off next season if Fitzgerald retired?
I guess, because you need to get some of these other guys' targets. But Larry Fitzgerald is such a great leader. I can't ever say, until he just physically can't do it anymore, that they'd be better off without him.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. And the problem is, he's still productive in a sense. So I can't say that, you know, he's not worth it. He's taking up a space. He's taking up targets, because that's not the case. I think they value him. So I can't co-sign that.
I mean, it feels like it's starting to get to that point. You know, and somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, one of the few who can really determine when he decides to walk out the door, especially in football, that's so rare. So I would never disrespect Fitzgerald and say that they would be better off next season. But if you read between the lines, I would say that they could be more dynamic next season. And then you could deduce from that what I'm actually saying, like they can be more dynamic. You're right. He's not taking away touches from everybody, but he still caught 54 passes,
true,
which means 54, at least 54 went his way. I don't know what his catch percentage
72,
was.
72, 75.
Okay.
72 targets, 75% catch percentage.
Nice catch percentage. That's actually a really strong, you know, that's 78, 79, 80s, top notch.
Yep.
That's fantastic. He just doesn't run anymore. And I know you don't, there's more to it than just that. After this year, one more year, that's probably got to be it. That's a tough one. I know I'm going in circles because I love Fitzgerald. I don't want to see him retire, but there could be an upgrade out there. I'll leave it at that. The Panthers are set to release Trey Boston, veteran safety. I believe they already did it. Now, they just signed a 3-year deal with the team back in March. Panthers were 11th in the NFC in points allowed last season, 11 out of 16. Is it wise to move on from a veteran like Boston? Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I don't think you do anything that you don't want to do. You're obviously weighing the finances of it, but listen, if the tape, and I'm not saying that he's, you know, not a solid player. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
But they have measured the tape too. Like if he was jumping off the tape as a, they would find a different resolution. So they're thinking that they can be as good or maybe slightly better and save some money. And with the salary cap being what it is, I can't say that that's a faulty logic.
No, it's you can't, BT, and it's also, If you're, he didn't grade out fantastic last year. I just pulled it up while you were talking.
Let me guess, 70, 68?
No, worse.
Ooh.
53.8 overall.
Oh, nice.
This
nice.
Is Pro Football Focus, by the way, for those who are wondering. And, but nice. Coverage, it was sub 50. So, yeah, he had a bad year. That's not historically how he's played, but he had a bad year. And in a team that's rebuilding, if you present as a liability and you have a down season in a year when they're trying to grow, you become expendable. So, I mean, yeah, is it risky? Not really. I think it's right on point.
There you go. All right, Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán suspended 81 games. He violated baseball's domestic violence policy yesterday. Their reliever, one of them, Zach Britton, didn't mince words on how he feels about Germán returning to the team this season.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't think he, owes anything to me. I think it's, off the field stuff that he needs to take care of. I think, sometimes you don't get to control who your teammates are, and that's the situation. I don't agree with what he did. I don't think it has any place in the game or off the field at all. So I don't think he owes anything to me. My job is to go out there and pitch and do my job. So that's kind of what my concern is right there. But he doesn't owe me anything. I think that's something that he's going to have to deal with on his own and make better choices going forward.
Mm. Boy, he went pretty deep there.
Yeah, clearly he doesn't care.
Yeah, I hear you. Should Britton save his comments for a little face-to-face with Germán first?
No, not at all. He publicly gets a, clip for PEDs and he has a domestic issue. It's like, come on, man. Not that you're reflecting bad on your teammates specifically.
Yep.
But the fact that, this is what's being associated with who the type of player that the Yankees are bringing in, it's a big deal. So, he was asked about it. He answered honestly.
I didn't like it. I thought that I think he could have stopped short of that. By no means am I saying deflect and take a complete pass. He went deeper into the well than I thought he needed to be. Mm-hmm. You establish your point. That this is not, anything that, I subscribe to as a human. I mean, nobody, who does, really? I mean, that's the obvious part.
Yep.
I thought he could have, he went deeper. And again, he's not wrong. He's definitely not wrong. But I probably would have stopped a little short of that while still getting my ultimate point home, that it's unacceptable, but then stopped it. He kept going, and I didn't really think that he needed to. All right, there's currently four teams in the Eastern Conference with an above 500 record, plus the Celtics are at an even 500. Why has the West been so much better than the East for so long? Well, that's a little bit of a a lazy question. Did the Raptors win the championship a couple years ago? Raptors won the championship a couple years ago. So, did Kyrie and LeBron win it? Yeah, they did. When Kyrie Irving stuck that three-point shot against the Warriors, they did win it. I mean, let's not sit here and say that the West has won 9 straight championships. Now, I understand that there's more great players in the Western Conference. That is a cyclical draft oddity. Like, you can't really control that. You can control free agency to somewhat. But why is the West so much better than the East for so long? I disagree with the actual premise of the question, so I don't really know that I could give you an answer if I don't agree with the question.
Yeah, I don't know if there is an answer.
And by the way, the Nets will probably win it this year.
I know, but like what answer are you going to say? Because the water is better in the East and the West, and it isn't. Like, seriously, what answer can you have there?
I could see Santa already getting pissed at us. He's typing away. Well, this is what I really mean, guys.
No, it's not even that. It's just like there is no answer to that.
the unanswerable better. Question on the blast. Brought to you by Tiki and Tierney.
Whatever.
All right. In a recent episode of Jeopardy, hoops was a category, and let's say the contestants struggled even when presented with a picture of a current player.
And the final clue, hoops for 1,000. Recently, this baller barista launched Big Face Coffee and turned his new team, the Miami Heat, into a title contender. We were looking for Jimmy Butler.
Boy, you really miss Alex's voice. You just miss Alex Trebek right there.
Agreed.
And by the way, Jimmy Butler was trying to sling that coffee for $30 a pop inside the bubble. $30 for a cup of coffee. Jimmy's no dummy, but a couple of guys were like, Jimmy, $30 for coffee?
Yeah, I'd rather drink water and dirt. And put
$30 for coffee.
$30 for a cup of coffee. Come on, Jimmy.
Is Jimmy Butler a household name after Miami's finals run last season?
Clearly
household
not.
Yeah, there you go.
Clearly not. Good. I mean, if you're a basketball fan, of course he is. But If you're not, and you're not really a sports fan, as these Jeopardy contestants clearly are not, they're not a household name. I mean, there's a few crossovers. There's not a lot of them, BT.
I agree.
In every sport. And he's just not one. So that's household name, and he's not.
I agree. You know, that's not to shade Jimmy. He is a throwback. I love Butler's game. Love it. Love his tenacity. Love, you know, barely drafted in the first round out of Marquette all those years ago. He's played on multiple, played for the Bulls, the T-Wolves, bounced around a little bit, took a while to find a home. Now with Miami. So he's been on multiple teams. He's not really, I don't think I've ever seen him in a commercial. I really don't think I've ever seen him in a commercial. I'm sure he does stuff.
Yeah, and if you haven't appeared in a national commercial, then you're not going to be a household name.
Yeah, he's
regardless
not.
Regardless of how good you are.
That's true. He's not very active on social media.
Nope.
He doesn't really waste time with that. I'm sure he does some great things for the community, but my, I don't even know if he's on social media.
No.
If he is, I've never seen anything attributed to him outside of, something maybe for a charitable cause. So, no, he's not a household name, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's a select few, and Jimmy's not on that list. Nope.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I mean, really, there's only, if you think about the NBA right now, there's LeBron, there's Steph, there's KD, there's probably Harden. Yeah, Harden's a household name.
Yeah. There's not a ton, BT.
Yeah, there's not.
And
I think Luka's not there yet. You know I love Luka, but not a household name, not yet. There's not many.
No, there's not. And I'm looking at Jimmy Butler's statistics.
Yeah.
Right. He's never really. He's a 19, 20 point a game guy.
His
PER has increased over the last 3 or 4 years. So, but those are statistics that matter to NBA heads, not anyone who's trying to, cares about athletics from a personality branding standpoint. He just doesn't move that needle, and he doesn't need to.
And he doesn't try to.
No, and he doesn't need to.
He doesn't try to. He's happy hooping. And he's happy hooping hard.
Exactly right.
He's well compensated. He's got immense respect around the league. Everybody respects Jimmy Butler's game and his toughness. So he just plays to a different beat. He plays to an old school beat, which is kind of refreshing.
Yep. I agreed. I don't mind it at all, man.
Nope.
Just go do your job. Play ball.
Speaking of job, time for a little light scotch pour shovel time. Back out in the snow. Time to hit the shift, man.
I think you're using it as an excuse to work out.
I got my workout. We got a Peloton cut, so I'm starting to get. So I'm going to try that now.
Nice.
Have a great weekend, Teague. Catch you guys Monday. Everybody enjoy it. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.